Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer Podcast. Richard here, your favorite announcer, hearkening you to season 6 of the podcast. Fred, your principal reminder, asked me to remind you of a most pressing result of prayer. So to converse with God, Him who we daily design to glorify and serve, and whom we expect daily in some measure to enjoy, and fully and finally, ere it is long, is certainly throughout a way of pleasantness and peace. John Howe, A Treatise of Delighting in God, and Tongue and Pen and Wit, cannot express my joy. Samuel Rutherford. The joy, peace, and comfort, in short, the abundant life which sustains the soul of the children of God, is developed through daily conversation with Holy God. Let's join with Fred now as he reminds us to pray, pray, and pray.
Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer Podcast. My name is Fred, and I am the host of the podcast, the principal of the podcast, and we are here in the booth, what I call the paddock, again, and we are talking about prayer. And prayerfully, God is glorified in the content of the prayer and in the heart of the podcast as well. Today, we are back to the basics of prayer. We are looking now at the biblical portion. You may have seen this before. Our goal is a growing, biblical, dynamic, sincere, soul-satisfying prayer life, and it satisfies our soul and glorifies God. And we've gone over growing in prayer, and we've done some basics on that. We will hit that again in a future date. And right now, we're in the era of the biblical part of this, that we want our prayers to be biblical. And before we begin that, though, I just wanted to do two quick business things. The first, the foundations of biblical prayer, I'm getting really good reviews on those, on the people who have been using them, and we'll do that more. I think what we might do is a little bit of commercial stuff, but you'll know they're commercials when I do them episodes. So we'll do more on that another time and maybe highlight what people have said about it and how they use the journal. And today, I wanted to feature South Africa. South Africa, you guys came on to the podcast a couple of years ago, and you rank 5 as far as the listeners to the podcast. I wanted to thank you for that, and it's pretty amazing. You guys have been steady, and I really am happy about that. It brings me joy. And again, when we started the podcast, I made the statement, and I've said it a few times over the years, that there is no earthly reason for anyone to find this podcast. So I do believe it's the providence of God that has led you guys in South Africa here, and it's providence that will expand according to God's will, the podcast as we go along. But thank you there in South Africa. And again, next time this comes around, we may look at specific places, but I do appreciate everyone in South Africa who listens and everyone in South Africa who mentions that you are being edified from the podcast. So thank you very much. So we've got great praise for our brothers and sisters in South Africa. And again, I'm really excited about the foundations of biblical prayer. Like I said, it's getting really good reviews and can't wait to talk about it some more in the future. We are, again, looking, as I mentioned, at the biblical. We want our prayers to be biblical, and the Bible is the guide to our lives. And we know that to be true, but we don't always think about it. And when it comes to prayer, again, the Bible is our guide to prayer as well, the content and the grammar. And we've talked about grammar in prayer before. And you'll remember that Peter says, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. And part of that resource, that part of those resources is the Word of God, a great part of that, because that's how God reveals Himself and how God talks to us. And then Paul, you remember in 2 Timothy, tells us this, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And we have talked before about the naturalness and the necessity of prayer, God's desire and our desire to talk to Him. Our inner man longs to talk to God. And we could certainly put this verse into that quote. All scripture is inspired by God, and in the area of prayer, it is profitable for teaching, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction and training in a righteousness that we are praying, and it makes us adequate and equipped for every prayer. I kind of like that. I just thought of that. And then we know from Hebrews 4:12-13, we've talked about this before as well, is we conform to the Word of God. The Word of God does not conform to us. And it's the same way in prayer. And in fact, for prayer, the Bible is our grammar book. That's how we learn the grammar of prayer that we've talked about before. And that's why book two in the series that I have on prayer, the prayer journals, the prayer helps, we might say, is called the Foundational Prayer Primer, because it's a high-impact tool for learning the grammar of prayer. We introduce it in the foundational blocks of prayer, and those blocks are expanded into the grammar of prayer in the book, The Foundational Primer on Prayer. And so we have those resources, which prayerfully, if you get the foundational blocks, you will see the biblical nature of that book. And then when the prayer primer comes out, it has expanded content again on the grammar of prayer. And so the Bible, though, for us is the measure for our whole lives. And it occurred to me as we begin this biblical part, and you know, this all stems from when I made a prayer journal for myself. Early 90s, I couldn't find anything that was really out there or helpful. And then once I published my prayer journal, there were a couple out there that didn't suit my needs, but they would have been probably good tools nonetheless. But that's where all this began. And one of the things I was kind of amazed to see is I'd been saved by that time about 15 years. I'd been in the church about 15 years, been in Christ about 15 years is the better way to say that. And as I was growing and developing my prayer life, I discovered when I went through and basically I studied prayer from every angle for many, many months, trying to ignite that fire in my prayer, that fire in my worship. And the prayer journal that I developed at that point did do that. But at that time, one of the things I realized is I have been missing prayer requests, clear prayer requests. And the odd part is, I can say unequivocally, that I do get joy when people come to me with their prayer request. It seems to me an honor that they would trust me with their cares and trust me that I would pray for them. And that's why it's also important that I do pray for them, which is another thing, keeping track, whether you do it in a journal or lists, really helps me to do. But I really do enjoy it. Again, it's a privilege. But in studying for the original, the Prayer Warriors Journal, in studying for that tool for me, one of the things I had realized is I missed three major prayer requests from the most important person in my life. Now, God is, we don't fully understand His person, but He is by definition a person, and He has His actions in His nature, His wisdom, His knowledge, all that. But I had missed His prayer requests. And as we begin this look at biblical prayer, one of the things I wanted to remind you, we did talk about this a long time ago, was that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He has given us three very specific prayer requests. I was amazed to find in my own life at that time, I really wasn't praying. I wasn't honoring those prayer requests. And that was one of those convictions in those days as well. And I realized not only was my praise and worship growing stale, but that I had missed some key components, and that is God's prayer requests. And I will give them to you shortly. This is our so what. God Himself has asked us to pray for the harvest, pray for the kingdom to be spread all over the world, in other words. He's also asked us to pray for our spiritual leaders, and He's also asked us to pray for our governmental leaders. And aside from the one fact that I have prayed in my country, I have prayed for every single president, beginning with Jimmy Carter a long, long time ago. And I do pray different things for them. But aside from that, I was not honoring that prayer request to pray for governmental leaders. I was not honoring the prayer request to diligently pray for our leaders, our spiritual leaders. And I was definitely not honoring the prayer request about praying for the harvest, praying for the spread of the gospel. And as I was studying prayer and studying what was said about prayer in that intense fashion way back in the early 90s, I ran on to John 4, 35 through 38. And this is just after he's talked to the Samaritan woman. And he says to the disciples, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving his wages and is gathering the fruit for eternal life, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." And of course, that's when he looks up and the people are coming from Samaria at the word of the woman at the well, and they're coming out to see Jesus. And so he asks us very specifically to be praying for the workers and the harvest. And I wasn't doing that. And it's a real prayer that we can grow in depth in, and we need to grow in depth in. But it's one that I would exhort you to put on your prayer lists, because this is a request from Jesus himself. He also says basically the same thing in Matthew 9. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech, pray, beg the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." So again, our prayer request. And Paul finishes that off in Colossians 2 through 4. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you." He's talking to the Thessalonians there. I'm sorry, not the Colossians. And in Colossians, though, in verses 2 through 4, he talks about spreading the gospel as well. So in our efforts to keep track of prayer requests and to be praying and to be faithful intercessors, especially in the gospel, we need to be praying for harvesters, for reapers, for sowers, and specifically praying that the word of God would go out with power. So he asks us, number one, to pray for the harvest. That's the most important thing. That's the job of the church right now. Nothing really, other than that, is our job. I mean, we might have little jobs, but if they don't end up in the spread of the gospel, we're not fulfilling what we need to be doing in the church. So, requesting for the harvest and reapers. The second thing that we're asked to pray for is our spiritual leaders. We're asked to do that. In Hebrews 13:7, the writer of Hebrews says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith." So they are our leaders. We need to be praying because they are speaking the word of God. And if you would, and if you read the blog that we did a couple of days ago on prayers that prepare us for sermons, you saw that really clearly in the prayer of Edward Reynolds. So we pray for our spiritual leaders. 2 Corinthians 1:11, he says the same thing, Paul does, And then in Romans 5:30, Paul says, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." And I don't know if you knew this, you probably did on some level, but when we are praying for our spiritual leaders, we are entering into their work, into their strife. And it does remind me when in Colossians, remember we talked a couple of weeks ago about the brother from Colossae who agonized in prayer over his fellows. And I would think as well, as we pray for our spiritual leaders, we should be agonizing with them, entering into their work, into their fight, as they do the will of God as well. So we've been asked by Holy God to pray for the harvest, to pray for our spiritual leaders. And then lastly, and this one may be the toughest, we've been asked to pray for our governmental leaders. Now, in my culture, and some of you will understand this better than we do here in my culture, because in my culture, we have a lot more freedom than maybe you have, but we have a ton more freedom than Paul had. While Paul was preaching, the leader of his country was Nero. And still, he says in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity." And then verse 3 is the most interesting for me here. "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So one of the reasons we pray is so that we can lead tranquil lives. We can live out our Christian lives in godliness and dignity, which they would not be able to do as time went on in Rome, in the church, that had a real struggle for a long time. So we pray for everyone. We pray for our leaders so that we can have the opportunities to spread the gospel, however that looks in any society, which sometimes looks that way under persecution. But verse 3, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now we know that the way is narrow and few there be that find it. So I'm not sure that Paul is talking about God's desire. I know he has the desire for all men everywhere, but in this specific context, we need to remember the reason that I pray differently for Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan and George Bush the Younger is because I believed they showed the fruit of their faith. Certainly Jimmy Carter did. Ronald Reagan, I believe, did, and so did George Bush Jr., like I said. So I prayed for them differently because the others were in that category that even kings, even our rulers, your rulers, wherever you are in the world, your rulers, God desires to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, which might change culture some if they did. But either way, that's our prayer because that's God's desire. I have mentioned before, I think it was Robert Bruce, but when Robert Bruce heard that King James, the guy who had given him so much trouble, was dying, he was in a group of other preachers, Puritan preachers, and he exclaimed just spontaneously, he said, "Oh, that I had a horse that I could ride to the castle and ride to the king and give him the gospel one more time." That's basically what he said. And the reason he said that is he knew 2 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. "This is good and acceptable to pray for our leaders, to pray for our kings, to pray for everyone in authority, because God desires even them in their evil, even Nero in his evil." The offer of the gospel was there. And when Paul went to Rome, and he was in kind of house arrest for those 2 years, every soldier who was chained to him or had to guard him heard the gospel without prejudice, because that is what God desires. And that actually brings us full circle again, doesn't it? We pray for the harvest. We pray for our spiritual leaders who are involved in the harvest in one way or another. And we pray for our leaders that they might be some of that fruit of the harvest. Ephesians 6, Paul talks about the spread of the gospel as well. And so as we bow daily in prayer, our so what, my main encouragement for today is that whether we pray long, and we don't pray the same every day, but whether we pray long or short, that we keep in mind God Himself, Jesus, from His own lips, has asked us to pray for the harvest, to pray for our spiritual leaders, and to pray for those who rule over us. That is a privilege and a responsibility. Thank you, Jesus, that He gives us that responsibility. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I thank you that I was reminded in this moment that everyone who hears this podcast is part of your grace and mercy to me, because I have nothing other than what you have done in my life, what you have given us and to me through the Word of God, and that desire to do what you've asked us to do, and my new inner man's desire to talk to you. Other than that, I have nothing to give. I have no platform from which to give it. So thank you for everyone who hears this whenever they hear it. And I would pray that you would remind us every time we sit down to talk to you that you've come alongside us and said, "Hey, Fred, I have a couple of prayer requests." That you pray for the harvest and its workers. That you pray for those who lead you spiritually. And that you even pray for the government, some of which, many of which, most of which, I know your heart, Fred, I know your heart. You don't like them very much, but I'm still asking you to pray for them. Holy God, thank you that you give us this privilege. Teach us to pray as you've asked us to pray, and help us to give you the glory in all things. We pray this again in your precious name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. I really do appreciate it. And again, we are commended in Matthew 6:33 to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the other things we need are added to us, and that we're not to be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own problems and it'll take care of itself. As we know, each day has enough trouble of its own. And in that regard, in all those regards, brethren, let's pray for one another. Amen.